it kind of just gives off the impression that if you want to pursue an environmental career, you have to be like an environmental scientist. And that's completely not true. Even if your main, like, if you just care about the environment, but you want to be a psychologist, for example, you can learn about like eco-anxiety, for example. It's like at the end of the day, what you're going to be most successful is what you're good at and what you're interested in. And just to like, just try your best in like whatever that is, and like success will come your way.
Hello, hello everyone. I was going to call you all 10 minutes to changers, but considering that our podcasts are usually an hour long now, I would say that we're not necessarily on brand with our name. But don't worry, because we've decided that instead of trying to fit in education into 10 minutes, we will be providing 10 minutes of actionable change that each and every one of us can incorporate into our lives at the end of every episode. How do we like it? Great. Sounds good. In terms of today's episode, though, seriously, everyone, I am shooketh. You know how we keep talking about wanting to create a sustainable world for future generations, and we want to lift up youth today as they'll be the leaders of tomorrow? Well, meet Ava. Ava's going to introduce herself in a little bit, but she's an avid environmentalist from Chicago, and she is the founder and editor-in-chief of Further Magazine. So it's spelt F and then Earth, like the planet, and then ER, so Further, but it's pronounced Further. And it'll be in the title, so you'll know what I mean. But Further Magazine provides accessible interdisciplinary environmental education through articles released in monthly issues. And I know that I'm not just talking about myself when honestly she blew the whole team away. She's passionate, bright, innovative, optimistic, she's compassionate, all of the kind of characteristics that we need to see in individuals that are, you know, going to be taking care of this planet and be in leadership roles, because honestly, she is an up-and-coming leader. She's a leader already. If you need some inspiration to keep going, or you just want to learn from someone that's honestly probably younger than you, then strap on your seatbelts. She sees things in such a beautiful light, and I didn't feel so alone in my journey to be an environmentalist after hearing her speak. Michaela leads us through this episode. She does an amazing job like always. Her internet was a bit delayed, just so you know, but it didn't impact the quality of our conversations with Ava. Without further ado, let's get into it.
Welcome, Ava, to 10 Minutes to Change. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how you came to be involved in the environmental movement?
Yeah, so hello, everyone. My name's Ava. I'm currently a high school senior in Chicago, and yeah, I founded Further Magazine, and which you'll like find out more like later in this episode. And I like to read a lot of environmental books in my free time. I also like to play tennis, and I like distance running. And next year, I'll be attending U Chicago to major in environmental and urban studies. And yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. That is really impressive. So congratulations. And I also did distance running in high school.
Cool.
So I feel you on that. I also like to run. So can you tell us a little bit about Further Magazine and when and why you started the magazine?
Yeah, so I started the magazine last June, and I started it like I became inspired after taking this college class that was called Intro to Environmental Studies. And like what we really focused on in that class was just like, you know, in order to effectively mitigate the climate crisis, we don't just need scientists, because you know we already have enough like all the science and tools we need to mitigate this crisis. What we need is more of a collaboration of, you know, politicians, journalists, policymakers, business owners, etc. So many different career paths and people need to be need to collaborate and come together in order to create effective change, because there's so many different perspectives and ways that the climate crisis affects everything in society. So I really, that really stuck with me and caused me to kind of think, okay, I kind of want to like do something that like kind of like raises more awareness on this particular issue within mitigating climate change, because I, as someone who grew up in the American education system, like through elementary school and high school, I've only really learned about the environment through science classes, and that's it. And I find that to be a little of a bad thing, because, you know, not everyone's interested in science as like their favorite subject. So it kind of just gives off the impression that if you want to pursue an environmental career, you have to be like an environmental scientist. And that's completely not true. Even if your main, like, if you just care about the environment, but you want to be a psychologist, for example, you can learn about like eco-anxiety, for example, and how you can like treat patients with that and like talk to them through therapy about that and et cetera. So I created the magazine in order to kind of like help people realize no matter what their interests are, whether it be architecture, economics, zoology, whatever it is, there's an environmental interconnection within that. And we have almost 30 now, I think, writers that are in high school and in college that write articles. And basically what we try to do is like write about what we find interesting and how we can find environmental connections to that. And I think not only is it a great learning process for our readers, but it also is for our writers, because they really have to do a lot of research in order to learn about their topics. And yeah.
Wow, that is so impressive, considering your age and you know, how old you are, the fact that you started this magazine and have an awareness of the climate crisis and all of these issues. So applause to you for that. I love that you bring in interdisciplinary environmentalism and that lens to your magazine, talking about how like there's so many different ways that people can get involved, because I think that like one of the reasons why people don't get involved is because in the beginning, like, everyone feels so overwhelmed, like, how can I make a difference? But, you know, there's simple steps that people can take, and I'm glad that you're promoting that through the stories that you share and through your magazine. So just like going off of what you said, like, can you tell us a little bit about specifically the kinds of stories and information that you share? Like maybe what some of the latest stories that your writers have offered to the magazine?
Yeah, so one of our latest articles in issue 7 is like an interview with this woman who works in a coffee shop in Wales, in the United Kingdom. And it's kind of just talking about, you know, like how coffee shops can be more sustainable and like the ethical practices that go within that. And she works for this place called Coal Town Coffee. And I think it's a B corporation. So like they strive to like make their business practices ethical within like a social justice mindset and environmental justice mindset as well. And another article, which is kind of different, is one that I actually wrote. I actually wrote it for one of my college essays, and the prompt was Where's Waldo? And like it has like I made it like kind of about the environment. So I thought it was like kind of an interesting way to show how like creative writing and the environment go hand in hand. So yeah, I have that one. Another article is about this concept called integrated water resource management and like how that is fighting like water scarcity. And that's on issue 7. Some other ones that come to mind, we have one that talks about how like economics can be more sustainable. That's in one of our earlier issues. We have another article about green roofs, kind of just like showing how like architecture and the environment go hand in hand. And yeah, we have a lot more. I think we almost have like 80 articles. So I'm hopefully there's something, at least one article you find interesting. So yeah.
Wow, that's really impressive. There's so many articles there to read. I'm going to have to like get onto your website and like do a deep dive, because sounds super interesting.
Yay.
I was reading one of your articles just today on like the intersections between like art and climate change and the role that like art plays in not climate change, but like climate advocacy. And I love that article because like I'm a poet and I love to like create poems that like speak to my experience like in climate advocacy and sort of like advocate in that way for the climate. So yeah, I like what you're doing there. Okay, if we like dive more deep into like storytelling and like journalism side of things, what do you think the role that storytelling and journalism plays specifically within the context of the environmental movement?
I think that's a really good question. I would say, you know, it kind of just ties back into the idea that, you know, combating the climate crisis is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Everyone has their own strengths and interests to offer in order to help combat this problem. So, you know, like a lot of people are amazing writers, amazing storytellers, amazing journalists, and the climate crisis opens the doors to these people to create, you know, like help use what they're good at to raise awareness and hopefully provide strong pathos evidence as to why people need to care about the urgency of climate change, and also overall just help educate people and provide accessible education. I think that because, you know, like I feel like every year you hear how like journalism, like it's harder and harder to like make a stable career out of it. And like same with like, you know, like writing and all that with like the digital age, like everyone wants everything for free. Like I'm sure everyone's familiar with that. But I think the environmental journalism and like environmental writing in general is just like a great opportunity to like help those fields stay relevant as they rightfully deserve, because not everyone is amazing at STEM, and you know, we like people like writing is very important as well. So yeah, I think overall it's just like an amazing way for more people to get involved in helping us learn more about climate change and how we can mitigate it in the future.
Yeah, I love that response, and I resonate too with what you said about like the importance of writing, because growing up like STEM was definitely highly praised, like when I was in high school, over like the English and the like literature and the art side of things. And I've always been like a stronger writer than I am like in math. And so I totally agree with you, like writing deserves just as much applause, because like the stories that we tell about climate change and about climate advocacy and about sustainability are so important. And along with like amplifying the voices and experiences of those who are the most impacted by climate change. And so, yeah, I love that you share that. Could you define interdisciplinary environmentalism and what that means to you in your magazine?
Yeah, so interdisciplinary environmentalism is essentially learning how, you know, like different academic subjects have connections to the environment. You know, everything is very like overlaps a lot, which I think is very different than what we're taught in like elementary and high school. Especially because like, you know, we have like our math class, our reading class, etc. Like it's not like we have like a math and reading class, like the same class or something, you know what I mean? So I think that's like, for example, like environmental economics that someone was talking about earlier, that's a perfect example of how environmentalism is interdisciplinary. It's taking two subjects and combining them in order to learn about them effectively. And then to the magazine, I think it's just about, you know, learning how different academic subjects that people are interested in, how they connect to the environment and various ways that like are not commonly talked about. So yeah, it's just like about learning about the same topic within different academic perspectives in order to learn to gain further insight that than you wouldn't have if you otherwise didn't do that.
Yeah, that's an awesome response. And I think that's a great way to define it, just talking about how basically like any topic under the sun and how it intersects with the environment, basically. Awesome. So what do you see as the future of interdisciplinary environmentalism, maybe for your magazine or just like for you and your profession in general, or for people involved in the climate movement?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think at least for me personally, like I'm like kind of pursuing like different projects like in addition to my magazine in order to help like raise awareness about this. So yeah, like for example, I'm currently writing a book, and then I'm gonna start like a podcast of my magazine to like help make the information that we're giving out like more accessible in case like people would rather listen to it instead of like reading it. And I think overall the future, like in the education system, well, this is just like what I think should happen. Like who knows what's actually gonna happen, but I just think that it's a lot easier to be implemented than what people think. Like even like in math class, we can just have like, instead of like someone buying like 52 watermelons, just like talk about like, oh, someone wants to buy like solar panel, like I don't know, 52 solar panels for their factory or something, you know, like just stuff like that. You can easily like switch out the words and like, you know, make it more environmentally like aware, I guess. And yeah, or even like in history class, like learn about like the history of anthropogenic climate change. And even like to like when kids go on field trips, you can like take them to like nature preserves. I think that's a great way to help kids like naturally like have a love of nature, especially if you live in an urban environment. Like you're probably not really exposed to nature on a daily basis, so it's even more important. And yeah, I think just like thinking of ways like that can like help like naturally help kids enjoy nature and like naturally like grow a love for the environment. I think that's like the most important thing, because like as much as you can shove like information in someone's face, like it's up to them really if they think it's interesting or not, and it's probably not gonna be interesting to everyone. So I think it's more about like trying to find, especially for like younger kids, just like finding meaningful experiences that they'll remember like 10 years from now or something, like, because yeah.
And going off of what you just said, like how do you think is the best way for youth to get involved? Like is it through like school programming? Is it through like external organizations and volunteering? Is it through, you know, showing up at a climate protest? Like what are the sorts of actions that you think youth should be taking to really get involved in climate advocacy and the sustainability movement and connecting back to nature and our roots and all of those things?
Well, since there are so many different opportunities in order to like help the environment, I think it's really just down to like what you find most interesting, because at the end of the day, what you do that is most interesting to you is what you're gonna do the best job at. And that's gonna make the most impact. I think, yeah, and even just like how I said earlier, like how it's not a one size fits all approach. Just like find whatever it is that you're interested in, and like what you're good at, and like see how that can connect to the environment. Like whatever it is, like I don't know. Even if like say if you're interested in like music and like you're a songwriter, write songs that connect to the environment. Like I don't think there's that many of them, so. You know, just it's all about like just seeing like your own personal place and just seeing how like you can utilize your strengths. And yeah, I just think that another thing, like there's so much information about climate change these days. You know, everyone's starting their own organization, like promoting the same things. So if you do want to go that route, like just trying to find something that like differentiates yourself to make you like more memorable to people. So you, yeah, make a better difference. And another thing too, you can educate yourself about the environment all day, but I think too, just getting started on helping the environment is like, just like that's going to make a great difference. Like just like in itself, you know, like just like getting started on something I think is really important, because like if you get started and you do an amazing like initiative that you're really passionate about, and you just end up impacting just like a couple people, that's better than if you never did what you did, if that makes sense, you know. So yeah, I think it's just about finding your like place in things, and yeah, like opportunities will come your way and that you're passionate about, and yeah, it'll be great.
I love that you're like, it'll be great. Like, that's so nice. It's so hopeful for everybody. I really agree with everything that you just said. And just to talk a little bit about my experience, to provide a little bit of like a personal anecdote. I was reading this quotation the other day that was basically stating like, remember what you did as a little kid, like remember the things that you did as a little kid that made you really happy. Like, you should try and find a job that aligns with those things that you did as a kid that really are just like found in the simple joys, like in the simple pleasures, and in like the simple fun of it. And for me, like, it was about clothing and it was about being outside and it was about writing. And like, now my dream job like is surrounded around that role. And so I really like would encourage like youth out there to just like keep exploring their options, keep finding ways to get involved in different organizations, and like, I mean, keeping an open mind, because like there's so many different ways to get involved, so many different ways to like explore new opportunities. So on that note, how can people get involved with your magazine?
Yeah. Okay, first off, I just want to say I agree with what you said. And yeah, like just like, yeah, especially like the little kid part. Yeah, because like at the end of the day, what you're going to be most successful is what you're good at and what you're interested in. And just to like, just try your best in like whatever that is, and like success will come your way. But yeah. Okay. Anyways, to get involved in my magazine, so I already like had a bunch of applications that I still need to go through. If it wasn't for online school, I would already like be done responding to everyone. But anyways, whatever. So yeah, currently I'm not accepting any more applications, so I'm very sorry about that. But I would say the best thing you can do is just stay up to date with our Instagram, which is at Further Magazine, which is like, yeah, I'm sure like it'll be linked down below or something. So yeah, that's probably the best way, because even though we have like an email subscription, I can only send like 2 emails per month in order for it to stay free. So yeah, I would just say like, yeah, just Instagram is the best way, because that's where I post about like everything that's going on. And you know, hopefully I can open it up to more like applications and opportunities in the future. So if I do, I will post it on there. And yeah, I would say too, we have discussion questions for every single article that we have. So it would be really awesome if any of you would like to share your insights, no matter what they are. It's just a free space for people to like express for like how they feel about it, and to like give insightful analysis, and like just provide their own commentary on the article. So that's a great way to get involved in. Yeah. And you can always like DM the Instagram as well. I check all the messages, and sometimes it might take me a while to respond, but I will respond. And I think with that, like, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to get involved, like without actually applying for anything, but yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great response. And we will also like note your magazine's Instagram handle in our show notes so that people can follow you there. And when you can open it up to people becoming involved, all the information will be there. So I'm just going to open up the floor to our team members who have a few questions for you. So Jess, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I think I speak for everybody when I say we are so inspired by you, and just so looking forward to seeing where the magazine goes. So along that lines, I'm curious what your hopes and dreams are for Further Magazine, and how you see it evolving and where you want to take it.
Yeah, that's something I question a lot, because I definitely want to continue it like as a college student, but I don't think I want to make it like a school organization, because that would mean I have to like let it go one day, and that sounds sad. And also like, I just want to like, part of the reason that's, it's nice to be like, you know, like the founder and kind of like the coordinator, everything is like, you know, I kind of have like full say on how to do things, and like I just have a vision, and I just want to like make sure it's like executed the way I think it is. And Yeah, so I definitely want to continue it. I guess I'm just a little like, I don't know exactly how it's going to work. I'm sure too, I'm thinking like, because a lot of the other people on the magazine are also high school seniors. So like, I'm just expecting us to kind of like have a Zoom call, just like figuring out like if we want to still continue it or not. Like, cause you know, I'm sure like not all the writers like will have time in college to contribute, and that's totally understandable. But yeah, for me personally, I still want to, continue it. I'm thinking like, cause right now what's annoying is like, I'm an online school and I can't really do as much as I want to do with it right now because school was just very annoying, but oh well. So this summer, I definitely want to like revamp it in a way. I think the aesthetic could be more, unique. And I just want to work on that more just to kind of like make our brand like more, unique and like stand out more. I want to continue growing the amount of Instagram followers we have. I would love to get to 10,000 just because then you get the swipe up thing. So that would be so nice because like I could be like, check out our article, swipe up, like, oh, that would be so nice. So yeah, I just want to keep continuing it, interviewing more people to like learn about like their like stories, like whether they be like an owner of a zero waste shop or a professor or yeah, whatever they are. And yeah,
so exciting. I'm so excited to watch how it grows. Thank you.
Jackie, I think you also had a question.
Yeah, I do have a question. And first off, Ava, I just want to say I'm so stoked that you're creating space to explore environmentalism through all of these different lenses. As you mentioned, I have a background in kind of one of these intersections, which is environmental economics. And I know for me in school, that was actually considered kind of a fringe topic in my discipline. And like, it's not very common. So I'm really excited and hopeful that you and your generation, it sounds like, are kind of exploring all of these intersections and opportunities and resources. And that being said, I know that you mentioned that you love reading environmental books in your spare time. So I'm wondering if you have any recs that you could share with our listeners and myself.
Yes. Okay. First up, The Uninhabitable Earth by David Wallace Wells. Okay. That was like one of the first books I read. And I read it when it came out. So I think that was like a little over 2 years now, which is kind of crazy. But this book really just shows you just how bad everything is, like how like urgent this is. And you know, for me personally, before reading this book, I was like many people, you know, whenever like I saw a video about climate change, I'm like, no, I can't watch, like this is like too stressful, like I'm so overwhelmed. And yeah, like a lot of people still feel like this like today. But I think what's different about this book, at least for me personally, because it just showed how urgent this issue is, it kind of just motivated me to like find what I can do to help out. Because yeah, like it, I don't know, something about it, because I think it's also not, it's not 100% like pessimistic. It's also like kind of showing insights about like different perspectives and ways that like this on this crisis can like be combated. And yeah, because there's so many different things it's going to affect. It's basically going to affect every single industry and field in the whole world. So I think it's just really important to learn about it. And yeah, it's just a great book. Also, Losing Earth, I think it's by Nathaniel Rich. I'm pretty sure, hopefully I didn't get that wrong. But yeah, he actually, this author first published like this really extensive New York Times article kind of about like, you know, like when in the 1970s when and like we actually had a chance to like stop this crisis, like while it was still like just like forming, and it was like scientists kind of like raising awareness about global warming, discovering it, and just trying to like get meaningful action passed in Congress. And because he wrote that article first in like, I think it's like the New York Times magazine, and then like it got really popular, so then he decided to like create it, like write a book about it and like give even more insight. So yeah, I think it's a really good book, and it's not too long. Another great book is On Fire by Naomi Klein. She also has a lot of other environmental books that I have not gotten to reading yet, but I should, so definitely going to do that. And Those are all the ones I can think of now. There's some other ones. I just forgot what they're called. But yeah, there's actually, honestly, like, there's so many amazing, like, interesting environmental books. So, like, I definitely encourage anyone to just, like, look up, like, just as many as they can find, because there's so many. And I feel like some of them are kind of under the radar. Some of them are pretty popular, but there still are some interesting ones that are under the radar. So definitely check it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We will definitely link those in our show notes. And I'm glad that you gave kind of an array there, because I agree with you that climate change can be super overwhelming and you can kind of want to just pull the wool over your eyes. But on the other hand, like, there's a lot of opportunities that arise from the situation we're in. And I think there's a lot of space for optimism. And I appreciate you sharing that perspective with us today.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest challenges that at least, like, I see arise is people that aren't in the climate movement or the environmental movement. They're just like, well, where's my place in this solution? And, like, I'm not in this, so I can't really help. Like, it's out of my hands. And I think you give just such a simple but, like, impactful answer, which is you can find ways to do this in your career. It'll just look different. So, like, a psychologist talking about eco-anxiety, or like you're making a math book and you just change it from watermelons to solar panels in one of the questions. It's just very creative, and I never would have even thought about that. So I'm, like, so obsessed with how simply you kind of talk about tangible solutions. And so, funny enough, I actually heard David Wallace give a speech. He was at a conference that I was at last year. And he was talking about the uninhabitable Earth. And I read it too. And I agree, like, it does hit you in the face. But it kind of just propels you to do what you can. And I think even, like, thinking about that, so do you have any, like, people in mind that you really would love to, like, interview one day? Or do you have any topics that maybe Further hasn't covered yet that you really want to explore? I'm just kind of curious what specifically you're curious about.
Yeah. So someone I really want to interview is Dorsetta Taylor. I'm sorry if I mispronounced her first name, but it's kind of funny. So I was applying to University of Michigan last year, and I saw her as one of the professors, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to put her in my essay. And then I Googled her, and now she's at Yale. So I was like, oh, snap. I'm glad I checked that, because that'd be embarrassing if I wrote about her. She's not there anymore. But anyways, even though I didn't apply to Yale, like, I still just, like, looked into her and, like, just, like, her work. And she's done so much about environmental justice and basically, like, what I'm really interested in. And especially, like, because I'm considering to become an environmental sociologist. So I think it would be, like, really cool to just, like hear her insights. And especially because she was, like, basically one of the pioneers of the field. And yeah, I would love to interview her. She just seems like such an amazing person. Other people. Honestly, David Wallace Wells, because that was a great book. And I don't really know what he's like. And it would be cool to talk with him about it. And just, like, I'm just curious, like, how he, like, kind of thought about, like, writing this, and, like, how, honestly, I'm just curious, like, the research process of, like, creating that book, because I feel like a big majority of the book is just, like, sourcing where everything's from. So I was like, how did you even, like, take the time to do all that and everything? So that would be really cool to, like, learn about. Some articles. Okay. One article I want to write is kind of like, because I don't know if there's, like, good information out there. Hopefully there is. But I'm just kind of thinking about, okay, so, like, how Amazon bought Whole Foods a couple years ago. I'm kind of just curious, like, if their environmental impact has, like, gotten better or worse because of that. Because, I don't know, at least, like, Whole Foods especially, they seem like they're like, oh my god, like, we are so sustainable and, like, ethical. But then it's like, I go into their bathroom and, like, their toilet is, like, right, it's so TMI, but, like, it just wastes so much water. And I'm like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like things match up to what they're, like, advocating for. It's not, I wouldn't say it's fully greenwashing, because I think they do, like, overall try to, you know, make a difference. But at the same time, like, okay, there's this Whole Foods by my house. It used to be a small one, but now it's, like, this huge, gigantic one. They moved into a space, like, a block away. And it's like, just how, I'm just like, how much more food are they wasting now? You know, like, cause it's just like, it's so much. It's like, there's no way like everyone's buying this, like no matter what. So I think just overall, like, I feel like, especially cause Whole Foods, like they kind of seemed like, at least in the beginning, they were more like community oriented, and now it's like more corporate. So I'm just like curious if I can investigate more about that. And also, oh yeah, one other idea I have is there's a skincare company called Coco Kind, and I just like want to like kind, because what they're doing now is like under, it's kind of similar to the nutrition facts diagram, but on the side of their boxes it's kind of saying like the environmental impact of like every single product they made. And I just think that's really cool, and that's like an easy way to kind of revolutionize like the skincare industry, and like actually kind of abolishing greenwashing, because it'll be like, look, this is like the stats. Like, so I think that's a great idea, because greenwashing is such a big problem now, and that's a great way to kind of like be like, look, this is what we actually did. So yeah, I don't know, I think that would be really cool to look into. And yeah, but what's unfortunate is that school is just like taking all my motivation away, so I don't really have time to do this, but hopefully I will get these articles and ideas out soon. And yeah.
Yeah, well, at least they're out now and you will not be able to forget them, because they'll be recorded for you. But I think I would love for you to research those, because I was actually wondering about the Whole Foods and the Amazon connection. So we definitely have that in common. And I think, yeah, in terms of greenwashing in like corporate social responsibility, which is even starting to fade out a little bit and it's turning into something new, I think just in general, the way people govern their businesses is definitely a huge player in like climate change. So I love that you're looking into that. And there's definitely like a way to revolutionize the way our businesses operate. So I feel very inspired by you, that's for sure.
Thank you.
And I don't know if anyone,
I feel like the common theme, I feel like the common theme in this episode is like all of us are just sitting here so inspired by you, so thank you for that. Yeah, I just want to finish up the podcast by asking you to share a 10-minute call to action with our community.
Don't shame others for not using like a reusable bag or metal straw, because at the end of the day, those don't really matter. And that like what really matters is, you know, advocating for systemic change. So a 10-minute thing you can do is like contact your local representatives and actually, you know, ask them, you know, like how, like to actually create like effective environmental policies. And as an intern for a local state representative in Illinois, I can say that like we actually like look at all the, when we like take like constituent surveys, we actually look at all the responses and take into consideration what everyone says. So this definitely is a great way, an easy way for you to make a difference. And even if you don't hear from them originally, like, don't give up, keep following up. And I think that's a great way that you can make a difference, and it doesn't take too much time too.
Awesome. Yeah, those were great tips. I'm definitely going to look into my local representatives here, because I just moved to the area. So I'm like, okay, who can I contact? Well, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. We learned so much from you, and you provided a lot of really insightful information on the realm of interdisciplinary environmentalism and understanding it from the world of like journalism and writing and storytelling and from your youth perspective. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. And we will definitely link in our show notes ways for people to get involved and look up your magazine.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, it was so great to meet you all. And yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll thanks, stay Ava. In touch.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, if any of you guys like want to just like keep in touch, yeah, be sure to like direct message me. And yeah, it was just great to meet you all. And like, it's so cool. Like, I don't know, I just love the internet. Like how I get to meet all of you in Canada. Like, what are the odds? Like that would never happen without the internet. So I just think it's like really cool. And yeah, thank you again for this opportunity.
Sure. Thank you.
I think we're all like kind of reeling just from how impressed we are by you, and you've definitely like really inspired us, and I'm really stoked for you to be able to like vote and be representative or do whatever you want to do, and I'm excited to see what you get up to.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye. Okay, how amazing was that entire conversation? I was not as smart or as conscious or as, I'm going to say it, woke. I didn't think like that at her age, and I'm so blown away by it. And so I really hope that you feel good knowing that this is who's going to be, you know, caring about us and our planet. She's one of the individuals, obviously, you know, we have a lot of people on this planet, but yeah, no, this was amazing. And definitely check out our show notes to read about her magazine, follow further on Instagram. And if you want to write articles for her, you know, you can DM her and you can find out ways to get involved that way. So please just like and subscribe to all of her to all of further magazine related things. And also, thank you so much for listening to 10 Minutes to Change. I know that Ava included some 10 minutes of actionable items that we can all do towards the end of our discussion. So definitely remember to do those and implement those into your lives. And just know that you can listen to 10 Minutes to Change on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you in 2 weeks.